This week's parasha is Vayetzi and covers Genesis 28 to the beginning of 32. In this, we read is that Jacob had to flee his home after he deceived his father into giving him the blessing that was intended for his brother Esau. And at his parents' instructions, he journeys to his uncle Laban very fast. In chapter 28, Jacob has traveled a full day's distance, and he arrives at a certain place where he rests for the night. Now he has to use a stone for a pillow, not as nice as the one he left in a hurry. That night he has a dream, and he sees angels ascending and descending on a staircase or a ladder stretching between earth and heaven. Is a representation of Messiah, who is our mediator, reconciling man to God. Yeshua himself affirms this in John chapter 1. In the dream, the Lord tells Jacob that the land will be given to him and his descendants, who will be too numerous to count and spread out in every direction. Jacob's offspring will be blessed, and the Lord will be with him. We should note that God chose Jacob not based on his deeds, that we know for sure, but simply because Adonai is gracious. Even after receiving this blessing, Jacob tries to negotiate with God, saying that if Adonai does everything he promised, then Jacob will be loyal to him. He still has a long way to go because he's Jacob the deceiver until he becomes Israel, one who follows God. Adonai often allows us to suffer the consequences of our own foolishness so that we might learn from it. Hardship can build character. It certainly helped build Jacob's. In chapter 29, Jacob has reached Haran and he rests by a well. He encounters shepherds there, and he asks them if they know where Laban is. And they respond, yes, and tell Jacob that Laban's daughter, Rachel, is now approaching. Jacob, no doubt wanting to impress this beautiful maiden, goes to the well and removes the large, heavy stone by himself that normally takes two people to move. So Jacob's not some little slight man. He is obviously a man who has strength. And he proceeds to water his Laban's sheep. He then is brought to the home to meet her father, Laban, and is invited to remain with him. After Jacob's been living there about a month, Laban asks him what wages he wants. And Jacob is rather smitten with his daughter Rachel, and he asks for her hand in marriage. And Laban agrees to give Rachel as his wife in exchange for working 7 years for him. The years pass quickly and pleasantly. And finally, the big wedding day comes after much celebration, including a whole lot of wine. Jacob takes his wife into his tent and he consummates his marriage. Now, it was the custom at that time for brides to wear a full veil. So with all the wine, when Jacob wakes up in the morning and he sees his wife, he's got a really big surprise. It's not Rachel, but Leah, his older, scripture tells us, less attractive sister. Jacob, the deceiver, finds himself up against an even bigger deceiver, his father-in-law. I wonder how much time Jacob spent contemplating how he had deceived his father by pretending to be his brother, only to be deceived into marrying a sister, not the one he thought he was getting. Oh, the tangled web we weave. The shrewd Laban agrees to also give Jacob Rachel, whom he loves, in marriage in 7 days if he consents to work another 7 years. Jacob agrees to this new contract, and Laban will have changed Jacob's wages 10 times before the two part ways. I am reminded of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, where it says, Whoever sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. But anyone who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. I want you to think about those words. Whoever sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. We should know whose side we are on. At this point, Jacob and Laban are sowing their sinful nature, but praise God that Jacob would soon see the light and would eventually become the man and that God wants him to be and acquire a new name. After some years, Jacob tells Laban that he wants to return to his own country, and Laban, realizing how blessed he is because of God's favor on Jacob, and persuades Jacob to remain. Jacob agrees to stay, and they work out an agreement by that all the choice animals, those that are solid in color, will remain Laban's, and all the speckled, spotted, and striped animals will be Jacob's. Meanwhile, Jacob has learned a lot from his father-in-law and now employs some creative animal husbandry, resulting in the birth of far more speckled and striped animals, so that Jacob's flock increases while Laban's flocks dwindle. I guess if you take a solid colored animal and you mate it with a speckled one, you're going to get a whole lot of speckled ones. Yeah. In chapter 31, God comes to Jacob and tells him to return to the land of his fathers. And this seems to be just in the nick of time, because Laban and his sons have grown a little resentful towards Jacob since he is now wealthier than they are. So Jacob, who once fled from his brother, whom he deceived, now flees from his father-in-law, whom he's also deceived. There's a direct correlation between Jacob's deception of his father and his brother and his father-in-law to what will happen to Jacob in the years to come when his sons deceive him with his favorite son, Joseph. Remember, we reap what we sow. So what can we learn from today's Torah portion? Jacob repeatedly took matters into his own hands, deceiving others and being deceived himself. How much are we like Jacob? We often try to make deals with God, saying that if he would just do this thing or that thing for me, we will do something for him. We convince ourselves to get the, or connive to get the things that we want, and deceive ourselves into believing that the end is justified by the means. We are no better than Jacob, but we do have the Holy Spirit who consistently and constantly nudges us back onto the path of righteousness. We need to listen when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and convicts us of our sin. Hebrews 12:6 says that Adonai disciplines those he loves and punishes them. And he punishes those whom he accepts as sons and daughters. So brothers and sisters, what I want you to remember most today is that we do reap what we sow. Sow honesty and goodness and bless others, and the Lord will bless you. Sow trickery and deception, the Lord may and will make an example of you. And that's not going to feel so well, I promise you. Pray that the conduct others see in us leads them on the path of righteousness. So be the right example. The path of our Messiah, Yeshua, our perfect example. Brothers and sisters, let us be grateful and praise God that he has so much mercy, grace, and forgiveness for each of us, his chosen followers, whom when we return to him time and time again. Amen.